Good morning. Scripture today is Isaiah 12, 1 through 6. I will say to that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for through you were anger with me. Your anger turned away, and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great is in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Bless the words of the gospel. Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and joyous in your sight. Amen. So the third and fourth weeks of Advent are two of my favorite times in the Christian calendar. Today, we lit the rose or the pink candle of joy. And next week, we will light the Advent candle of peace. Just a little warning here, I do have a lot to say about joy. If any of you have ever received a letter or an email from me, you might have noticed that my sign-off is peace and joy. You see, peace and joy are two of the words that really describe my faith. Part of my intent with that sign-off is to invite everyone else to experience the peace and joy that I have found in Christ. At the very least, I hope I can bring a little bit of the peace and joy that the Holy Spirit has filled me with to those whom I come across. And I know that really takes more than just a few words following a single interaction. So my sign-off also serves as a reminder to me. It reminds me why I'm here, why I do what I do, and to make sure that my actions and communication matches those sentiments. It doesn't always, but I really try. Today we hear about joy from the prophet Isaiah, and I brought my Hebrew mug today just so we can get into it. We're not going to get deep into Hebrew, don't worry. We hear about joy from the prophet Isaiah. He's one of the major prophets from the Old Testament. And we're pretty sure that this scripture was written about the Babylonian exile, probably around 500 BCE. And the first chapters of Isaiah sort of fluctuate between these dire predictions of destruction and these profound promises of salvation. There's this sinful nation, these people who have forsaken the Lord. And Isaiah has some pretty harsh words about the people's inability to keep the covenant and abandoning God in favor of idols. But Isaiah also proclaims that God will provide salvation for God's recalcitrant and wayward people. Christians often look back at the prophet Isaiah to understand more about Jesus. And there are some scholarly disagreements about exactly who or what Isaiah is referring to. But most of us understand Isaiah 11, the verse just before our passage for today, as foretelling the arrival of Christ. And this is where the prophet describes the Messiah as the shoot that shall come out of the stump of Jesse. And there's also a description of the peaceable kingdom, the lion laying with the lamb, over which the coming Messiah will reign. There's clearly an expression of joy, both now known and anticipated in our scripture today. So chapter 12 of Isaiah anticipates a celebration when they return to Israel from their Babylonian exile. And some of this language is similar to the celebrations we read about in regards to the Exodus from Egypt. Isaiah invites us to move beyond this present time of exile that we're in and move towards this joyful anticipation and expectation of salvation through God's work. That sounds a little familiar. I mean, we've been talking about Advent being a time of anticipation and expectation. We're waiting for Jesus, the one who redeems and restores God's people. So Isaiah 12 is it's a prophetic song. There's six verses, and it's structured around the prophecy about God's glorious work and this upcoming reign of God's king. And the first half speaks to an unnamed single person. And I found it kind of weird that the first verse isn't in the lectionary, but I thought it was important to really give a full picture, and so I added it last minute. Thank you for adding that last minute. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. This person has experienced God's anger, but now enjoys God's reconciliation. Even though God does get angry and rebukes us when we stray from righteous paths, we are sinners, after all. The anger is always brief and never prevents God's compassion. Verse 2 begins with emphasis. The Hebrew word is hana. If you know anyone named Hannah, greet them as behold from now on. But it starts with this emphasis. Surely, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. This song exudes confidence about being reconciled to God through this coming Messiah. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. The grace of God, as well as salvation, form this constant running fountain, this deep well from which the believer draws. It's a life-giving water. It's deep. It never ends. God's grace is not a one-time thing. It recurs repeatedly throughout a person's, even a community's life. It's possible that this refers to an actual ritual that celebrates God as a fountain of living water, and we see references to that in some other prophets, where God's love and power are available to anyone who's thirsty, whether they're a believer or not. And there would have been joyous festivals, raucous singing and dancing and celebrating. In the second half of Isaiah's song, there's a shift in the Hebrew from the singular to the plural. And that's with the English you, that's hard to determine, right, in translation. But trust me, it's plural. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, sing praises to the Lord. For he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud, sing for joy. Basically, what began as an individual's excitement now becomes the whole community's excitement. What started as a charge to praise now expands to the whole community's responsibility. God's salvation is simply too glorious to be kept only within the Israelite community. The joy about God increases in volume. Sing, believing community. God has done glorious things. The singing escalates to shouting. The desire of a godly community is that God's goodness become known to all humankind so that they may also call upon God and join in this singing, shouting, praising, thanking, and worshiping. We, as God's people, face a fun and fulfilling future, exalting God's great name. God's King will reign. What started as an individual's joy eventually will be experienced by everybody. I'll be honest with you, I know rejoicing isn't easy. The concept of joy, it's often manipulated by advertisers, religious leaders, politicians, people who just want our money, our loyalties, our votes. And I don't blame any of you if you're skeptical about this joy thing. The world is a really scary place. There's violence in our schools and devastating tornadoes and economic and political instability. It really feels like we're just putting our heads in the sand to espouse joy right now. And furthermore, Christians, especially American Christians, don't really have a great track record when it comes to balancing a commitment to joy with a sensitive and holistic response to the world's pain. Too often, we're known for exhibiting and even demanding from others this Pollyanna-ish cheerfulness, something that refuses to look at the complexities of life. We mistake this lament for unfaithfulness, and we behave as if our faith and even our God is too fragile to handle life's dark side without a generous side serving of grinning and laughing emojis. That's not what Isaiah is saying here. Remember, he's speaking to an exiled people who are humiliated by the domination of Babylon. Isaiah's call to joy is forward-facing. It's a call that fully recognizes the terror and pain of his present moment. Yet at the same time, it insists that something infinitely good, restorative, and salvific is on the horizon. God will not abandon the beloved. Exile will not define reality forever. There will be a return. To rejoice in a time of exile, then, is to insist that God is present, active, faithful, even when circumstances suggest otherwise. Joy in this context it's a muscle that we need to exercise, a practice that we should honor, a discipline that we should cultivate. We don't have to deny the fear or the pain or the destruction that's in our midst. What joy requires is the courage to trust in a God who promises us deliverance. And I really like the linking of joy with longing, with ache, with a deep desire. Joy is longing for this rescue, while at the same time compelling us to participate in God's work. It's a longing that drives us to enact peace and joy in every way that we possibly can, while also admitting our desperation, our helplessness, our urgent need for a Savior. So this third Sunday of Advent, Joy Sunday, let there be shouts of praise and hope. Let there be laughter and joy. But don't let it simply be a surface experience, a pretending that all is well when there are, for many, things are not well. Let there be this deep reservoir from which joy can be drawn and tasted. Speak of a joy that sustains, a presence that abides, even in the difficult moments, even on those cloudy days. No, joy doesn't necessarily change our difficult circumstances, but it is a promise that there is a reversal on the way. So let's lean into joy today. Peace and joy of Christ to you all. Amen.